It's already the third day of this important Rohatsu Sesshin. It doesn't wait for you. Time does not stand still. Your step is sound. Your step is sound. You are steadily becoming intimate, more intimate with life. Even in a usual sesshin, not Rohatsu, this third day tends to be the roughest. This is the steepest part of your climb. You steadily climb step by step, breath by breath. You bite into it and you don't let go. You may be feeling the pain, the rigor and the travail. You may be pouring sweat in your efforts, but you have made the resolution to climb this mountain. You have been allowed to climb this mountain. You are blessed with the opportunity to climb this mountain. So you've thrown yourself into it, and you do not get discouraged. You do not give in to weakness and frailty. You do not allow yourself to become faint. The more you suffer, the rougher it is, the harder the going, the greater is your sacrifice, the more you are able to give up everything. Nor do you slack off under the sapless notion that you have gotten somewhere. It's just the same climbing any mountain. If you have really made up your mind to do it, no matter how tough it is, you do not give up. You know you will reach the top. How much more true is this conviction for climbing the great mountain of truth? This noble mountain. Nothing begins to compare with the dignity, the majesty of Truth Mountain. How Mount Fuji pales. The Himalayas no longer seem towering. Truth Mountain is boundless in height and grandeur. And just where is the mountain? Where could it be? Absolute dignity, grandeur, majesty, perfect calm. Words are utterly inadequate. No matter how much we work to express it, we can't even begin to describe the foothills. And what I am describing is your own life. Noble, stately, perfect composure. The mountain is stately, composed, not moving. But it is never slack, never negligent. Just how noble it is. Perfectly awake. Absolutely immediate. How straightforward the sound. How noble. And how subtle. The gentle breeze blows so subtly, lovely the sound. I can hear you saying, don't take up our time with words and descriptions. Time is precious. Staying with my practice, just staying with my practice, is essential. Great indignation naturally arises, doesn't it? It's the natural refusal to continue to suffer the indignity of not being in touch with reality. That great indignation fuels, energizes your practice. Grand courage springs from the belly of life, naturally, steadily, steadily, with increasing power and impetus. the heart of courage. The courageous will find enlightenment in one doing. This is the teaching of the mountain. The courageous will find enlightenment in one doing. This teaching is so natural, so all-pervading. It just has to find you. Limitless, limitless, limitless. Great, greater, greatest. Oh, there must be some description more apt, more powerful. Eternal, great. Great Truth Mountain. Who is it? If you are to see, you must look directly. Who is it? Do not look off. I'm not talking of or to anybody else but you. I am talking to you. You must hear it for yourself. Hear it as your own truth. This is not a tale of things far in the past. This is now. Now, here, direct. You yourself are truth, perfect truth. No one is left out. No one is excluded. What a waste for you to spend any time at all limiting yourself. Limiting yourself with thoughts like, I believe, but I just don't have what it takes. I believe, but I'm not strong enough. I don't think I can do it. I've got these obstacles. I just can't get it together. I often see you walking around this way, falsely resigned to a fate of ignorance. Giving up because you think you don't have a chance. It's not only a waste, it is inexcusable. You must renounce, once and for all, any notion that you do not have what it takes to attain enlightenment. Don't you agree? You are exactly truth yourself, limitless, great, great truth mountain. Is the most important part of this mountain its top, its peak. The smallest, tiniest little rock at the foot of the mountain quietly supports that peak. Thanks to one stone, each one stone, the mountain peak reveals itself, bracing and magnificent. Were it not for that one tiny stone, for each one stone at the base, that precious peak would not stand. Please, please see it for yourself. No speck of dust at the foot, and no whole mountain is revealed. Why? Nothing is separate. You cannot separate one from another, this and that. This truth, this life, originally, ultimately, cannot be divided and pocketed. Little, big, middle size, middle, edge, this over here, that over there. Truth, your life, cannot be dissected. No big, no small, in truth. All is one. All is one. One is all. Sure, it doesn't appear this way to you yet. You believe that you can chip, chip, chip away at the edge with no connection, no pain, no itch to the whole. You believe that because you persist in doing just that kind of limited activity, just chip, chip, chipping, scratching at an edge. This one truth is all penetrating. This one truth is all. So please clarify, investigate, and clarify one point. Just this one point. If you see into this one point clearly, then all is clear. Clear skies forever. All being is interdependent. All being sings in chorus. So the peak of the mountain bows its head to the small stone at its base. Each small stone is bowing, dedicating itself to the whole. This is genuine. Oh, make no mistake of it, there is much to view of the ingenious, the artificial. It makes quite a commotion. I want to be high up. I am something special. I should be recognized. That's artificial. Me, me, I, me, mine. The hard, brittle, clacking and clamoring ego idea. It's an artificial mountain. But these mountains make quite a show, don't they? The human being believes himself to be so far superior to every other being. Look. Look at the nobility of the ant, the soft gracefulness of the butterfly. No matter what you observe, you are looking at perfect uniqueness, incomparable being. Believing themselves to be supreme, human beings indulge in the most horrible acts. From the bottom of our heart, we should all confess, purify, repent, prostrating, striking our foreheads to the great earth, begging her pardon for our misguided attitude born of ignorance, begging pardon for our self-indulgence. We human beings are utterly self-cherishing when it comes right down to it. And what about yourself, you yourself, when it comes right down to it? Are you reverent toward all being? Are you able to be reverent, really? Are you grateful to all things? Are you able to be grateful, to be thankful? True gratitude is gratitude toward all being, whatever form it may take. Ryokan spoke of the fleas and the lice that lived with him, that inhabited his clothing. How on cold autumn nights, cold autumn night, late autumn night, even the fleas and lice are chilled. He speaks of his clothing as a field to warm them. He could find it in his heart to place the bugs near a burning charcoal, then, you must be warm now. Return them into his clothing for protection. Come on back inside now. You may wonder if you would or if you could ever be able to find it in your own heart to do such a thing. I can tell you from experience that you can find it in your heart. Living with lice when I was in the internment camp after the war, the little lice actually became quite cute. in our self-centeredness, relying on our wits, how unkind, how cruel, how arrogant human beings can be. What we're doing is mutilating our own being, breaking our own legs, the legs which work so hard to carry us, cutting off our own noses to spite our faces when we are unkind to any being. The right hand is harming the left. Really, it makes no sense whatsoever. How could we be so out of accord with reality as to fight and hurt others? We do it because we depend on our own small notions of what is smart and what's not. Self versus other. It is necessary, for once, to become a fool. If you don't lay it down, well, as soon as the I-me mind shows its face, you're allowing yourself to be far, far, far removed, out of touch with who you really are. Out of touch with this boundless, grand, grand mountain. If you are to see, look directly. One breath, one with this breath, direct. In the one, the all, be one with this. The mountain is nowhere else. The mountain is not off in the distance. In the one, the all. It's easy to say these words, to understand it intellectually, but that is not enough. You must experience it. Be one with this one doing. When Shakyamuni Buddha saw into the truth of the one in the all in the one, how moved he must have been. He could see, together with all beings, sentient and not. All beings, nothing, no one is excluded. Everything, everything is perfect, just as it is. Enough, plenty. From the beginning, salvation. Grass and trees, everything. Together attain the Buddha way. All is one, one life. You are the mountain. Don't hesitate to partake of that truth. Just this one truth. But if you get caught up even slightly, if there is any notion of mine, you have instantaneously constructed something. It's artificial. Please practice with noble urgency. Noble, intense urgency. Ichitande. Doing this one doing is not grasping. You are not holding on to this one doing. Perfectly doing this one doing, you have no expectations. Just doing, only doing, counting this breath, one, only one, two, good. Following the breath, breathing, just breathing, good. Only Shikantaza, good. Grasping nothing, expecting nothing, only just doing. Your one practice, practicing this way, discriminating mind becomes very, very obedient. But don't get it backwards. You aren't starting out a small ego clump. Me, I am practicing, I am doing this one doing. This clump is the master. If the ego idea is allowed to be the master, no matter how far you seek, the mountain will always be out there, far away. The only chance you have to bear witness to original mind is by opening up and letting go of that seeming solidity. There is, in reality, nowhere any such solidity. See it for yourself. Let go. Obediently release your hold on the mistaken idea of ego. Reality is absolute, boundless freedom, total peace of mind. Buddha is liberation. Everyone is searching for peace of mind. Just set aside body and mind, forget about them, and throw them into the house of Buddha. Sesshin is doing just that. Somebody came in off the street, they would be very surprised at what you were doing, maintaining silence for a solid week. It would appear to them that you're giving up all your freedom. Of course, you are not giving up your freedom. You are setting aside your fetters. You are setting aside body and mind, forgetting about them. You are throwing yourself into the house of Buddha. You are going home, returning to your genuine home. You are courageously allowing yourself to settle down, to settle. You are given a practice so that you may settle, to let go of your restlessness, your looking off. Please do this practice. Ichitante. Then all is done by Buddha. When you follow this, when you practice this way, you are free from birth and death and become a Buddha without effort or calculation. Who then continues to question? When you are reborn, born to original mind, when life is clear, you will no longer be looking off. Sure, your old habits will surface. They'll show their faces. But you'll be clear about it. You should be able to clearly open and purify, repent, and continue. Just this. Just this. This one breath is the genuine. And this one breath. So, doing. It boils down to just, only just doing. May we completely realize the Tathagata's true meaning. Please, I ask you to do this one doing. Chitante. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way.